That's Unreal Radio. My name is Devin Siebold, and I am joined in studio with Miguel Colon Jr. We are your nightcap of comedy, hour of hilarity, right here on Real Radio 104.1. You can find us online. We are on iTunes. We are also on the iHeartRadio app. You can stream, you can download, you can listen in live. Anything you want, you can do with those two options. And James John is out for the week, but we do have some special guests in studio. Not only do they always bring us goodies, but we also have our showcase coming up. We do a first Tuesday of every month. This month, it'll be April 2nd is going to be the day that we're going to have our Real Laughs Comedy Showcase. We've been having some fantastic turnouts there, some stellar comedy, and a good time because, frankly, the atmosphere there is amazing. They've got Waco Taco right next door for some food. We've got Hourglass Brewery brewing amazing drinks, and we have Joe and Shelby in here today to tell us a little bit about what they've got in the works. So what do we got here?
Well, today we brought you brought
three or four different, right?
We brought two beers today.
Two? Oh, okay. You just think that we're all alcoholics and you're just pouring a lot.
You know, we really want to take time to, you know, highlight the
beers,
you know.
Time to get drunk.
First beer we got, you guys all got is Zambian Milkshake.
Milkshake.
That sounds like a sex move. I gave her a Zambian milkshake, and you know what?
IPA.
Yeah. It's good for her skin.
Yeah, right?
When it was done, it looked like she was peeling Elmer's glue off her face.
Oh, my God.
like a baby cobra shedding skin. It was really crazy. We were stuck to each other for 45 minutes. Stuff's like Gorilla Glue. It's pineapple-infused Gorilla Glue.
So tell us about the Zambian Milkshake as you contemplate your next job.
Oh, man. No, that's fantastic.
Nice! A fan here comes!
Ooh, timely. I like that with the remake coming out, too. I like that.
Okay, this tastes way different than it looks.
Hey, that's exactly the thing. It's got a fruit-forward flavor.
So you expect with the IPA, most people expect like super hoppy or a lot of citrus maybe some fruit notes, or on the other end, piney, floral, resiny. This one's, I think it's actually a lot sweeter than most IPAs that we've ever done.
It is.
It's got lactose sugar added in. It's got a lot of African honey, Zambian honey.
That's what's
actually.
Up. What? A little bit of grounded up blood diamonds.
As Shelby said, as well, the hops are African as well. So it's pretty much a completely African
hops. So they hop higher.
Oh yeah, exactly.
It's delicious, honestly, and I can taste the little sweet notes in it. I, as you guys know, I'm a little bit of a sweeter beer fan. Last week or last month, I'm sorry, you guys brought in the Nutty Buddy one that was what is it?
Fluffernutter.
That's it.
Pillow fort. Yeah,
it was amazing, and I've had dreams about it since then. And you guys didn't disappoint this time. The Zambian Milkshake IPA. Got to ask, I mean, is it just because it's all African stuff that you came up with that name?
Yeah, essentially. The label as well, you can see.
What is the naming process? I mean, do you guys sit around and just kind of throw some ideas, or do you...
The general rule is whoever makes the beer gets to name the beer.
So. Like finding a star.
Joe, do you make any beers?
I have dabbled a few times home brewing with a couple of our brewers, and I've done a small pilot batch of the
Shelby,
brew.
Have you made any beers?
Yeah, I've brewed two pilot batches.
We want to get down. We want to make a Real Laughs beer that we will crazy promote for you guys.
I think we could do that.
Yes, that would be so
fun. And I definitely want a Real Laughs beer on there, man.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, it'd be great. And I mean, guys, get ready for that, man, because I'll literally hand it out to... I won't even ID like anybody.
the place I book a show over in Winter Haven too, and this place is it's a beautiful place. It's called Barrel 239. It's amazing, but it's in Winter Haven, and behind it is just like this big open space. And I'm like, what are you guys gonna do with the open space? She's like, well, we bought the land. She said we're gonna build it up, and we're opening a whiskey distillery.
Oh, that's
where we're
awesome.
Gonna distill our own whiskey, and I'm like. Really? Like, I don't know of any other, like, is that might be the next thing that people are doing, but I know that there's, you know, quite a few craft brewers out there, but that just seems like such a huge undertaking. And how do you even, like, I can sit here, I'll tell you right now, I can sit here and I can taste this, and I can drink a little bit more, and we're going to pass it around. How do you taste whiskey all day long? You die.
Oh, like, I want to open it. You open a whiskey distillery, and your hand is sore from slapping people around all day.
I couldn't imagine, but this one though, because you guys own the brewery, do you get to drink at work and taste it?
Yeah, man. I mean, that's a big part of the job. You can't sell something that you don't know about. And quality control, right? Like, I can't tell you it's good unless I know for sure that it's good.
What were your two pilots? Like, or name one, like, just tell me a little bit about what, okay, so this was you. Yeah, you got to throw the ingredients in.
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
So the first beer that I did was a Saison, and it had blackberries and blueberries and Meyer lemon, and I got to make all the decisions of how much fruit was going to go in it and how long we were going to let that fruit sit in there. And my nickname is Shoob, so I called it the Shoob Berry.
Shoob Berry.
Interesting.
And it sold out in a day and a half. It was a small batch, but gotta say, it was a pretty good.
What is the real? What is the Real Laughs brew going to be made?
Yeah, I was
going to
ask you that. What kind of beer would you make?
I don't know. I mean, if I'm in it, I guess it's hemp infused.
Yeah, it's doable.
Yeah,
it'd have to be hemp infused CBD beer.
Yeah,
are they doing CBD beer yet?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can get to the next beer in a second, but we have. it's not like that, we've got a big event actually coming up on 4/20 next month. It's a Witches and Wizards Market, but the day before, there's a rumor that we might be releasing a 4/20 themed beer.
Ooh, interesting.
Maybe some CBD floaters.
Ooh,
yeah, there
CBD
could be some
floaters?
Of those also flying around the next day on 4/20. So we're keep stay tuned for that.
I'll take a gram of that. Just a try.
That's totally doable, man.
It's supposed to be
one of our biggest events of the year, actually. Put on by Prometheus Esoterica. It's a really unique group of people that have how would you describe it?
Normally they do an oddities market.
I remember that. You guys did it 2 months ago.
Yeah. So they're the ones who put that one on. And this time we're going to do Witches and Wizards.
The
whole month of April is going to be kind of our Harry Potter month. So we have a Harry Potter art show coming up the first Saturday.
Are we going to have some kind of Hogsmeade brew?
We've got butterbeer in the building right
what
now.
Is
so
going on?
We've got a lot of stuff going right
awesome,
now.
Awesome, man.
I want to make a beer called Weasley Wood. And it's just like, you know who would drink it? Weasley Wood.
Why not?
All right. So what's the next beer you got here for us?
So this was a beer that I picked out because I thought you were going to like.
This one's called Rwanda Genocide. It's a lot harder than the Zambian. It's
not
made
African.
By a 12-year-old.
Oddly enough, I'm white and I don't care about this one as much as I did the last one.
I'm not interested in what it took to make this beer. Just keep it where it's at.
Hard pass.
This one is au naturel. It is a chocolate hazelnut double milk stout.
Oh, my gosh.
So the thing that these beers have in common is that they both use lactose, which is a sugar derived from milk that doesn't ferment out. So you always keep that sweetness.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, right?
That's what I wanted. Yeah, this is that's smooth, too. That is delicious.
Oh, that's really good. That tastes like chocolate.
That would get me in trouble.
Yeah.
It definitely has the hazelnut flavors. Like you're going for the
Nutella
kind of aftertaste.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that's delicious. Mm-hmm.
And 8.9%.
I like this kind of beer. Like, and a lot of people, that's the cool thing, is I'm glad you guys do this. Because a lot of like craft brewers, they don't cater to people like me as much. They're like, oh no, we're gonna make natural beer, you know, like we're gonna make man's beer, you know. And I'm like, I kind of like the flavors, like I kind of like a sweet and like a little different, you know, to where this is almost like drinking a dessert. And but a lot of brewers won't probably do that. They're like, I don't know, a little too sweet for us, you know.
And that's a really cool part about craft beer is that you can manipulate those flavors so differently
beginning to end.
Always.
How long is it? Oh yeah, you good?
Oh yeah, I'm good.
Beginning to end, how long does it take to make something like this?
It depends on the kind of beer, but it could be start to finish 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Wow.
Sometimes even maybe 6 to 8 weeks.
You ever have some, though, that you're like, and it's done, and you sample it, and you're like, nope. And like you just
the brewers can definitely pull a little bit off of the out of the fermentation tanks, so they can always tell. They are really good at being able to decide when a beer is ready to come off and get on the line. So it's really cool. Obviously we trust them more than
what's the worst
anybody.
Beer not that you've made but you've tasted like any beer out there.
Be,
it doesn't
like,
have to be yours or anything. Just
in my life.
Yeah. Is there just a beer that you're like, besides like beer snobbiness where you're like, oh, I don't like that because of this. Is there a beer you're like, it is utterly gross? It's okay, dude. We don't get sued.
I did a wine festival in Pennsylvania and it was horrible. Every single place around there, because it was all fruit-based wines other than grapes, and it was terrible. There was no wine I tasted that was good. And I just had, I was like, this is seriously the worst wine festival I've ever been to, but it was like $60 to get into the thing, you know? I'm sure there's like beers.
Is there a beer you just hate, man? Like, it's cool, man. Don't worry.
I don't know. That's so
you don't
hard
have to
say.
Name them, but.
I was about to say, I don't know if I'd name it exact. I mean, if I had to be super honest with you, I can't drink. I don't know if they're sponsored. I hope not.
No, it's cool if they're sponsored. We'll take their money and still trash talk them.
I can't drink Bud Light, man.
You can't drink Bud
Light? Coors Light.
Damn,
I can't
you think you're better than America?
Those, man.
You better than America,
I can't,
Joe?
I can't do it. Like, I'll
you're not very well hydrated.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like hard pass on that. If that's
cool,
all there
man.
Is to drink, nah, I'm not doing it.
You drink Heineken or Beck's?
Yingling is my go-to of, like, you know, the domestic stuff. Like,
yeah, I was about to say, you support Axis Power Beers? But you don't support the beer that beat the Nazis?
No.
I'm just saying, man, Joe.
No, Yingling's, man. That's all
America. That's
USA,
all America.
Yeah, exactly.
Old racist America. But, you know.
Pabst is a good one.
Hey, Pabst. Okay.
I'll go with Pabst.
Pabst is good. Because
old school.
Like, I got done working, a late shift. I'm juking my taxes. You know, I've been cheating on my wife, but I love her. That's Pabst. You know?
Pabst is what I drink when I've been drinking all night and I need a water, but I don't want water. That's
nice,
when,
man. That's when I go with vodka.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. It looks like water, so it tastes like.
It's clear, right? That's clear.
Yeah, it'll do.
So we have the show coming up on April 2nd. What other events? I know you guys said that you have the Witches and what is it? The
Witches and Wizards
Witches
Market.
And Wizards Market.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the whole month?
That is going to be on April 20th.
Yep.
Just that market.
Just the market.
But
it's going to be on Saturday,
can come
April 20th.
In, like, the cool thing is you guys can have like display of pretty
the
much everything.
The art show is going to be on the entire month. Yep. Yeah. We've got that going on. We'll have Harry Potter themed trivia during the month at some point. Keep an eye on Facebook for that. And we've also got the new location probably, possibly, most likely opening at the end of April. So.
And we got our showcase April 2nd.
You guys leading us off into what we're hoping is going to be, it looks like, for now, the busiest month of the year. So
that's
awesome. What's up,
I'm hoping,
man.
You guys can, you know.
If you're advertising, he didn't say it, but he meant it. It was all because of us.
I mean, I think this is going to be it.
This is the one. This is it. Shelby, any other beers you're going to be brewing in Africa? Can I expect,
in
like, Zamibian weapon smuggling or the Wakanda punch?
I will definitely be brewing a beer again soon. Really, I just have to go back there and bug the brewers until they let me do so.
Well, I want you guys to be in charge of brewing the real last brew.
Yes, I'd love
it.
To.
You guys, one of you guys got to come out for
and
it.
Want,
if we do it, you guys, one of you guys has to be there for it.
And I want the bottle to have, like, a way so it breaks instantly to become a weapon.
Oh,
like, real last brew is designed for, it's like, what, you're not funny?
We'll get Bill on that, our graphic design guy. He'll start working on labels.
It has to have like a pull tab at the bottom so that you can throw it at the comedian.
It's like a Mickey's hand grenade too. It's got like a puzzle on the bottom, but it's non-solvable. It's just like two riddles put together, like what begins left.
Somebody's sitting there like, I'm going to get this
one.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for coming out.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
We're looking forward to that showcase. Again, April 2nd. You can find more information online. Hourglass Brewing. Just look them up. We'll also post a little bit about it on Facebook.com/RealLaughsRadio. Thank you, guys, and we'll be right back.
Everybody, if you're looking for a new place to go that has live entertainment and great food, then you've got to go down and visit my friends at the Hairy Buffalo. It's located in downtown Orlando on Church Street. There is plenty to do there. They have live entertainment, they have bands, they have stand-up comedy, and they even have trivia night. So there's something for everyone. So guys, head on down to the Hairy Buffalo now and have yourself a good time. Their music, their food, their entertainment is absolutely great. You're going to love it. I'll see you there. Tell them James sent you.
Hi, this is comedian in Maz Jobrani, and you are listening to the funniest show on the planet, Real Laughs on Real Radio. Try saying that five times fast. Real Raff Radio, Real Raff, Real Raff, Real Raff, Red Rum, Red Rum, Red Rum, Red Rum. Oops.
Hey guys, Real Laughs on Real Radio. My name is Devin Siebel. Joining the studio with my co-host, Mr. Miguel Colon Jr., both of us Monster Comedians of the Year, James John out for the week, and we also have some other special guests for this episode. We have Miss Sarah Geimer and also Eric Myers as well, both nationally touring comedians. Eric has been featured on The Blue Show, right? Or was it, what was the name of it? I forgot. It was, what was it called?
I always forget to turn my mic on. It was Andrew Dice Clay presents The Blue Show.
The Blue Show,
it was
yeah.
Six filthy comedians.
Awesome, man. And so he's got that as a TV credit. You also have a special out that you filmed over in the Polk Theater, actually, in my neck of the woods.
Many moons ago.
Yeah, man.
I did that. I did another special about 2 years ago at the Laugh Factory, and that is on YouTube.
Awesome.
Which means it got turned down by everyone else. And
YouTube Red.
YouTube Red. It's after Cobra Kai. It's actually on Instagram. I'm broken up in a 30-minute, 30-second
chunks. Yeah, mine's on Vine.
Mine's on Periscope. Mine is on TikTok. It's just me dancing to rap music.
Mine's only available on Prodigy.
mine's only available in person. I perform it for you for
mine's
$2.
Any club that Bonkers was like, no, we can make this a comedy club. It's fine. This Planned Parenthood's got a big venue.
It's all on Crackle.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to get something on Amazon Prime, but yeah, I have that. And then I filmed an episode of Comics Unleashed.
I have an episode on Prime, and I got a special on Prime.
Yeah, man. Well.
You do. Good for you. Good for you.
We got them in the beginning when they were just like, listen, we have no programs.
They were like, yeah, we'll take you. Sure.
I was trying to get it on. They were like, you have to pay to get it closed captioned. And I was like, I don't have any money for that. So
no. It's like $45.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Chinese kids will do it. They really do. They send it off to China and they do that. They close caption it.
I've used like Fiverr
literally,
for gigs.
10 minutes in, it's like, help me, help me. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not saying that.
Devin's up there and he's like, you know, the problem with airline food and in the bottom, it's like, buy iPhone from Chin Wen Factory.
Get me out of here. They've locked me locked in the basement. My address. Wait, so do you get like, how has it been having a special in there?
Great. Yeah. Honestly, the streaming revenue is not bad. It did just recently go down. Like in the beginning when I first had it up, I was totally impressed with the payouts on it. I was like every month making a decent chunk of change. And then recently it went down because they did drop it just a little bit. But they, as weird as this is, there's like different ways in which people can stream it. So like it depends on how they find it. And they'll give you like different amounts of money for how they found it.
And how do people, is there like a... Like on Netflix, there's like comedy, then the subgenre of stand up comedy, or is it?
Yeah, it's stand up comedy is on Amazon. You can literally click stand up comedy and it shows you all the videos and stuff. When mine first came out, I did a huge push and I was promoting it on the radio here and stuff like that. And I was like in the top eight on their specials on there. But the specials weren't like brand new, like customized specials. Like I was below like a Nick Swartzen special that came out like 5 years prior to that, you know?
Right.
And so it was. They're big names. It was kind of cool to be featured up there for just a little bit. I do find that people, I still get streaming revenue from it. I do zero promotion on it whatsoever, really. And it's just people find it like from it keeps playing and then it gets put
That's
on there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Live at the Cheyenne. I filmed at the Cheyenne Saloon in downtown Orlando.
I think I saw that last night when I was looking through the stand-up section because Trey Maddox, a comic in West Palm, mm-hmm. is doing his tonight.
Nice.
But I don't know. Someone told me Amazon Prime, there are ways to get it on there, but I don't know if he had pre-sold it or something like
little
that.
Casting couch story.
You and that casting couch.
Bro, I'm trying to make it in Hollywood.
I know you're watching on Red Snapper or whatever
it was called. It was a time when casting couch porn was revolutionary. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, passe. But
now, do you get streaming revenue from audio?
I
got my sound exchange check today, and it was a little disappointing. Like I was like, man.
You couldn't even pay for your Amazon
really?
Music.
Mine was. I'll be honest with you, it was $56.
Mine was half that. I got $25 for my sound exchange, but with my album deal, I get like 20%.
See, you get
money.
Much. You get better deal like that with that, right?
I don't like. I think I don't know exactly how it works, but my old album Basket Case came out and it did this. But my new album Gen X Man, it's going up on the 30th on like Sirius, all the stuff, Raw Dog. Yeah. The thing I didn't do is my act so dirty that if it's clean, man, you can get played everywhere.
Yeah,
and
you can.
On Dry Bar and all kinds of stuff. But if I was smarter, I would go back 18 years ago and just do clean jokes.
Who wouldn't?
You know what I mean? Because the dirty jokes kill, but they it's harder. I think you get more work with clean stuff.
I literally write jokes just for like
like now, if I could go back, I'd write jokes all about being in the airline industry, working for GM, just anywhere I could do corporate showcases and just be like, I've got 45 minutes of material on tax law. I'm going to be at every tax event in the country. Yeah.
my somebody asked me recently, they're like, how do you get corporate work? And I'm like, well, the corporate stuff that I do is for teachers. And I'm like, yeah. Because I'm a teacher and I have teacher material and they hired me on as a teacher comic.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know how you get like Dell.
Yeah.
You
know?
Like I don't know.
I don't know how you get like the big corporate work, because literally this was just my niche that I like kind of went into, that I was like, oh, I can make money here. You know, I can kind of do some performances here and go out of San Francisco and Houston and Miami, stuff like that. But it's just, it's cool. But it's also like, that's not what I want to be known as.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the guy that does the corporate teacher work. I mean, it'll pay the bills. But it's also one of those, like, do you have higher aspirations, obviously? Like, or would you rather just, like, would you be content with 6 figures a year and no fame? Or would you rather have the fame and just take longer to get there?
Honestly, the fame.
The fame. I know, that's me too. Like, I'm the sense that I want the attention. I thanks for the check. How many people saw my set?
You know?
Like, I'm really wanting, like, I don't...
Dude, I'm 12 years old and I want to be Jim Carrey. That's what I always wanted to be. I wanted to be Ernest... Pee Wee Herman, pre-scandal. I wanted to be Jim Carrey. I wanted to be Adam Sandler. I wanted to be Chris Farley. Mm-hmm. And that's still what I want to be.
And
the money doesn't mean anything to me. I want to be hella famous. I mean, it's awesome to have. Don't get me wrong. But I just want to be super famous comedian.
I want the money and I want control of things, because this industry I've been in for like almost 8 years now, as a comic, as an artist in this, you have to fight for control, because everyone wants to control you. And one of the things that I want to get rid of, like personally, this thing that I just, I want to get rid of, that the booker and the venue have the say for me. And I know that usually only happens with fame. Fame is usually what changes that. You control the booker and the venue. You say, no, I want to do this for this amount. I'm going to do this. But I want to break the wheel, because I just can't stand. Devin knows this. One of my biggest pet peeves is when a venue tells you, if you perform for that other venue 90 miles away, you can't work for me. And I'm like, I'm done with that, man. Yeah. Like,
let me ask you. See, this is
every city has two clubs that hate each other.
But they can book any. And I always tell them, because they'll always tell me, they'll be like, well, I don't want you working for my competition. I'm like, you literally book my competition every week.
Every week
you book my competition.
This is the control aspect that I think Miguel's also getting at. Think about me walking into Netflix and going, I got this idea. Okay. A comedian, another comedian. In a car, get coffee.
Yes.
There it is. And they'll be like, you're an idiot. But Seinfeld walks in, he's like, comedian, car, coffee. They're like, genius.
And with him, it was the fame that pushes that.
Yeah.
I want to be able to make money for my partners and myself enough that even when people don't know me, they're like, listen, hear the kid out. He's made X for us. And that helps you get, because I don't mind the fame. Don't get me wrong. Every comic wants the fame too. It's not the driving force for me. I do want the financial stability, and it doesn't come from doing road comedy and stuff. But that's why I try to build relationships with sponsors and things. I know that there's another way to do this that hasn't been done too much by our generation, and I want in. There's a gold rush that we missed out on when things like Vine and YouTube videos that we should have been all in on, and we missed out. Now we're all getting into it. But the Wild West Gold Rush days are almost done. You still have to do more.
Yeah.
But there's something else coming, and I know it. And I need to keep an eye for what's the next thing, because we all have the material, we have the ability, we have the connections. We just haven't paid attention to what's the next thing, that we could be pioneers on the next thing, because we'll come to that with, okay, you guys are doing this weird new virtual reality comedy thing. Well, guess what? I can get you all these improvs with me doing a show backed with corporate sponsors paying for all this, and I just need your platform. And all the cool young kids who have the same talent can't come into the door with all that, you know?
Well, there's a new app called TikTok.
Damn it, Sarah, we're talking. Sorry, Eric.
Called TikTok, and I was like, well, maybe this will be like that next Vine or something. Yeah. And I was like, Eric, we got to make videos. We cannot figure out how to use it or what it is.
I don't understand
for,
why my
or
video,
what is happening.
I don't know what it is.
Like, we both downloaded it.
It's just kids dancing. It's always kids dancing in Korea.
Eric gets
that's what it is.
Young girls dancing. I keep getting
I wasn't
sent
watching that.
people braiding each other's hair.
Yeah, and
you're dropping, all that comes
you guys
up
are
in
dropping
my
the
feed.
Ball because the next video needs to be Eric dancing, braiding your hair with me singing K-pop.
I love it with you in the background. But the funny thing is, okay, I worked with Brad Williams this past week, okay? Yeah. And Brad said, I've had 2 Showtime specials. I've had a Netflix special. He's like, the most tickets I sell are from my YouTube videos. And if you do a Comedy Central Presents, they'll get about 300,000 views. They might be once or twice. You can get that with a YouTube video.
Yeah.
You get, the new people, back in the day, people headlining the improv were huge TV stars. Now, off nights, even weekends, it's Instagram stars, YouTube stars. It's a different world, and you can make yourself, like you're saying, you can build your own audience and say, I'm going to play here. How do you do that? Everyone wants to know. I'm throwing stuff at the wall, seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
So do you know the video online that was the teacher that did the spelling test for his kids and made up the words? And like it was hysterical. It was
that
very funny.
Really funny.
Yeah, he just filmed himself doing a spelling test where he was just making up the words and like their reactions progressively through the test. He's like, this one's worth 700 points. And like, they're like, are you serious? Like, his kids are freaking out. It's funny. And he got on Ellen and he did like a little spot on Ellen. And then people start following him on Instagram, Facebook. He's got 200,000 on Facebook, 165,000 on Instagram.
Boom.
Here's the thing. Never done stand-up before. I performed with him at the Pep Talk series, and he picked me up to do gigs with him.
Yeah.
He's like, I want you to open for me. I was like, well, what do you got? He's like, I'm doing Caroline's. I'm doing Laugh Factory.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing, and he's got me opening for him at Laugh Factory in Chicago. Both shows sold out, like, the day they came out. And he's not a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I know. Yeah. That's the crazy thing about our business. Like, what?
State of comedy is almost like, you might as well say I'm a blacksmith at this point.
Think about this. Like,
they emerged. It's entertainment.
And
it's
I made the finest mithril armor in
it's
all
entertainment.
The land.
Dude, Stormy Daniels can go up there and talk about what for 45 minutes. The crowd pays if they like the show. What does my opinion matter anymore?
Can you imagine, though, like people walking? Like, we're one of the only professions where that matters to where, like, you can't walk in, like, I'm auditioning for this role. They're like, well, here's the script. You're like, I'm not a script reader.
I don't
know.
Yeah.
I do have 200,000 Instagram followers. And they'll be like, well,
guess what, kiddo? You're in the new Matrix.
That's literally how Hollywood is. But it's like, it's show business, man. It's about selling tickets. And if you have a good act, that's the cherry on top. You know
it
what
is.
I mean? But it's like, but that's what anything is. I mean, why does Tom Cruise get paid X amount of dollars to make movies? Because he put butts in the seats. Why does any athlete get paid? Because they put butts in the seats. At the end of the day, that's what it is. People pay because you entertain them or you make them happy.
I would not see a Mission Impossible if they were like starring Ethan Hawke. I'd be like,
yeah,
no,
I'd already be like, what can he
do? Tom Cruise. I want to see Tom Cruise dangle from the Burj Khalifa. I want to see him.
I want Tom Cruise. There's a bomb that's going to blow up, and then you do the countdown, and he's not even sweating, and he's like, he cuts the red wire at 1 second. That's been 17 Mission Impossibles, but I see it every time.
That's why Speed didn't work, the third one. No,
remember the second Speed they had?
Speed 3?
Speed 2, they got rid of.
Speed 2 was awesome.
Yeah, Keanu wasn't in Speed 2.
No, it was Jason Patrick.
Yeah,
and
it was
on a boat.
And I think the boat ran out of... If they ran out of food at the buffet, the boat exploded. I don't know what the plot was, but it was so bad. It was so bad.
It was stuck off the coast of Norway.
If your server spoke English, the boat exploded.
When Keanu Reeves is like, I will make Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Oh, Speed 2? Hell no.
Yeah, right.
And they're making Bill and Ted 3, which I'm excited about. At the end of the day, it's like... There's an art to stand-up comedy and all that jazz, and we all love stand-up comedy, but it can be frustrating to
see
people packing out places that aren't comics, but that's the reality.
And the best comics that don't have the social media, that breaks your heart, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But, all right, guys, stick around. We got to talk about this a little more when we get back. We'll
all
be right back right here, Real Laughs on Real Radio.
Hey everybody, this is James Young with Miguel Colon Jr., my partner in crime, and we just here to let you guys know, if you're looking for quality advertisement, there's no other place you should look than Real Laughs. All you guys have to do if you want to get in on this is just hit us up on our email at reallaughs@gmail.com. If you want to give us a private message on Facebook, anything you need, we're here to help you out.
Real Laughs has some of the best numbers on social media right now. We're growing, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. So reach out to us and be one of our sponsors so that we can help get your brand in to hundreds of thousands of homes.
Hey guys, we are Real Laughs on Real Radio, winding down this episode and this week of shows. So don't forget you can find us anytime at the iHeartRadio app, also on iTunes as well. I'm Devin Siebold, joined in studio with my buddy Miguel Colon Jr.
What up?
James out for this week, but he'll be back next week for sure. We'll have the full cast in here, as well as some special guests and some amazing food, supposedly. So looking forward to that week. But right now, we have some regular old guests in the studio. We have Sarah Geimer and Eric Myers, both nationally touring comics. Sarah, I got to ask you, because we were kind of talking last segment about, you know, our goals as comics. I think we're all on the same, like, kind of famous page. But also, I know I won't turn down a check. Eric probably wouldn't turn down a decent check either if it's a good show. But Sarah, you probably have you have a different type of path to where that you could take. You have a pretty successful day job as an engineer. Like, I mean, so what do you find is your goal with comedy? I mean,
it's hard because it's one of those things where, like, yes, I would love to be like famous and super rich.
Bang!
But I also, yeah, I have a regular job, so I'm not totally motivated by the money, but I think that kind of provides me some different opportunities too, because like I'm new, and so like there'll be a lot of cases where someone's like, oh, I'm offering $25 for someone to do 45 minutes, and everyone who's working will be like so angry about it, but I'm like, hey, I'll take $25 for 45 minutes rather than $0 for 5 minutes at an open mic.
Okay, cool. Good to know you're a scab. Okay, thanks, Sarah. Yeah. Breaking the picket line. We're all trying to hold on strong to make a career. We're like, we all agree. And Sarah's doing it. Okay.
My last headlining gig, they were like, well, Sarah took 25.
I'm like, well, yeah, she's a woman, so she gets paid less. You know? Like, it's just math, which she doesn't understand.
Oh, welcome to our show.
The woman engineer? What does she work for? Cooking company? Wind power. Okay, that's gay. You know?
By the way, if you didn't know, Eric, I know, I was about to say, Eric, if you didn't know, Miguel is incredibly chauvinistic in this show. It's just general, you know, we act like it's a character, but it's not.
It's satire because it's just ridiculous. Like, anytime I hear anything when somebody's like still trying to explain why women are basically getting paid less, I'm like, how is this an argument? Like, how is there an argument that, well, the reason why women are getting paid, if somebody's getting paid less to do the same job as adequate and effectively as somebody else, there's no argument.
You know, one of my coworkers, because it was International Women's Day recently, and so we had this like celebration at work, and they asked me to like write some jokes for it too, and I was like, you know, I was like, well, I don't know how hard I work on these jokes, they're only going to get 70% of the laughs. So.
Yeah.
My jokes about International Men's Day are going to get, but one of my coworkers...
International Men's Day, or we like to call it the calendar year.
Yeah, every other day of the year. But one of my coworkers was saying that at her previous job, the president or the CEO had said something about, like, he felt justified in paying the women less because they got maternity leave. And so he thought that evened it out.
It just evens it out, guys. You get pregnant. You all get pregnant, what, every year? You know, I don't know. You're like pigs. Every 6 months, you got a baby in you, you know?
Yeah, and then the maternity leave isn't even paid. It's just that they legally can't fire you when you come back
right
away.
Like, it's still sick days and stuff like that until you are done with the vacation. My mom actually worked for Northrop Grumman over in Melbourne. She sued them in the late 90s and won like $40,000.
Seriously?
Because everybody around her was moving up. Like, they had a set schedule, like 6 months of adequate, like, you know, employment, you moved up like a half star in your security clearance and into your next position. And she wasn't. And like everybody around her was. And then she noticed a trend, and it was none of the females were getting moved up. And she's like, but all the males were literally coming in, just getting moved up. And so they got together and filed a suit and won. And they had to pay them all the back pay and all the extra bonuses they could have got.
You Google everybody but Devin's mom, they all died in accidents. They just let Devin
seriously disappear.
Have you seen my mother?
They're like, yeah, everybody got their money. You know, some of them got drone strike. Duh. Calculation error. We thought it was going to Yemen. It went to Apopka. That's what happens. You don't carry the two.
Oh my God.
But as a comic, I mean, touring around and stuff like that is pretty cool. But you do see, I think there's a different proving ground for women. It seems that there's a mentality that women aren't as funny. I told friends this too, where I'm like, hey, come to my show, and they'll come to the show, and there'll be a female comic on it, and the female comic will be funny. And then after the show, they'll be like, you know, everybody was pretty good. And I was surprised. I was worried that the girl wouldn't be funny.
Imagine changing imagine changing the girl and adding anything else and being how racist you'd seem. Be like, oh, I just don't find Asian comedians funny. People would be like, whoa.
That's what I was saying to Eric, too. I was like, because I get the, oh, you're the funniest female comedian I've ever seen. And I was like, do people say that to astronauts? Or like,
yes.
Oh, you did a really good job going into space for a woman.
You know, like, well, I mean, you're just an astronaut.
I mean, there was a woman on the Challenger. And I'm just saying.
Yeah. You know? We tried a regular one, and look what happened.
Yeah. But no, it's funny, because you know, Jeff gets that too, because Jeff will be like, Jeff Jones, been on the show this whole week. He tells me all the time that people will be like, oh yeah, Jeff Jones, he's a gay comic. Jeff Jones is a comic. Like, Sarah, you're a comic. You know, like, we're all comics.
I'm at fault too, because I'll literally see gay comic showcase or gay comic something, and I'll send him the link and be like, hey, check this out. And then I'm like, man, I don't send you links to anything else.
Devin, here's the thing with Devin.
Literally, I'm like,
Devin's racism comes from a genuine, I thought that was nice.
Yeah.
It always comes from that. Devin reminds me a lot of Russ Ray Rollins with that, too, because anytime Russ does something for the Monsters, it generally comes from, I thought I was doing a nice thing.
Yeah.
You know, hey, Miguel, here's, you know, like, Devin will say things that I'm like, Devin. And it's coming from a genuine, place.
Miguel, did you see that new taco truck with your people here?
Yeah. It was great. You guys have jobs? I mean, it's totally different than what the president says. You know?
I mean, I supported it.
Yeah, and that's another thing that's funny is I hear a lot of people say that. You know, like I said, Jeff's gay comic, Sarah, a woman comic, we're comics, you know? And that reminds me of also, like, when people say it's a black club, it's a Spanish club, and then if it's a club full of white people, it's a club. And what people don't understand about that is that you're not a bad person at all for doing that, man. You've just been subjugated and taught away. We all do stuff, man. Mm-hmm. I say things, that's a white something, you know? It's not right. But what you do when you do that is you're accidentally making two categories of something. Well, instead of putting it under one category, comedians.
Yeah.
Not female comedian, Spanish comedian, black comedian, comedians. And then we get to all be justly basically judged based on our merits individually.
Yeah.
Not you're really good, Sarah, for a woman. So what does that mean? That's like what they said with Serena Williams. They said that they're like, oh, you're one of the best female athletes. Serena Williams is one of the best
athletes, period,
man. And you do, when you say one of the best female athletes without saying you're one of the best athletes, you're the top female athletes. When you end the category there, you're saying you're the best at what you can be, which is limited to this. Mm-hmm. And you don't mean to do that. I do it all the time. You don't mean to.
I've been working on the joke because it's true, and this is just an early premise, and I have like some punchlines I'm working in, but I pulled out my kid's birth certificate because I had to go to SeaWorld to get the preschool pass for him, and I got a 3 and a 4-year-old, and I pulled out the certificate, and it said white on it, and my ex was, she was Colombian and Puerto Rican, and I was like, white? I was like, No, he's Hispanic, you know. I called her up. I was like, "How do you expect him to get scholarships?" I was like, "Like, you can't list him as white. You just categorize him with every other white dude."
I put him as a trans Ojibwe. Yeah.
I said, "We've got to put him." I said, "We've got to go and change that. We can't have him be this." And she's like, "Is it really that big of a deal? He is white too. Why does mine override?" And I was like, "No. You don't understand. Like, he needs the minority status to get ahead in this world. Like, in my eyes, I'm like, white people aren't being treated well right now. This is not a good trend for the future.
He needs to be like all those Spanish presidents, astronauts, congressmen, and CEOs.
But this is something else that I kind of stumbled on. I was writing the joke, and I thought about it as a social commentary. Imagine if Obama came on TV and he was like, I'm going to be the nation's white president. And you'd be like, but you're black. He's like,
but he's black.
Half of me is white. Why does it always be that when a white mates with
I wanted you to say mates with a black so bad, yeah. So I could be like, what are you just removed from the human species?
When a whitey and a darky get together. No, just
I've
got to
go, actually.
There goes your Netflix special.
My career. I know, right? So when a white person gets with a minority.
I'm very tense on this show. If you bring up Michael Jackson, I'm just going
to
head up.
Let me explain to you why, Devin. Have you ever...
Time out. Let me finish. So when a white person gets with somebody else, they never can say they're white anymore. Like, you just... Barack Obama can't say he's a white person. It's a weird thing to where we just immediately give it to
Did we, as
a society...
Did we all come up with that?
Did
a portion of our society say... If you ain't all white, you ain't white.
That's the thing. But that's what I'm getting at. That's what I want to make into the joke, yeah. Where it's a weird social commentary where you can't backtrack. Like, you want Tiger Woods can't get up there and be like, yeah, I'm a white guy. You know, everybody be like, but no, like, you're not. We see you. And he'd be like, but why does the minority have to be the superior, like, dominating race in me?
Now that so tell me that.
50-50.
I had a friend, and I can't remember what country she was from, but she was telling me, she was like, well, whatever your dad is, that's what you are. Because I'm the same, like, I'm Asian on my mom's side, so I always, like, think of myself as being Asian, and my friend was like, no, your dad is white, so that means you're white.
That's very mafia status, you know, like, whatever your father was, wherever you're Calabrian, because your dad's from Calabrian, your mother, she's a whore, you know? I think, basically, it came from the whole... if you had any tint in your skin, you weren't going to get any kind of... You weren't white.
Yeah, couldn't marry a white person. That way. Yeah,
and I mean, that's where it came from. And I mean, we just carried it on past those thoughts. I don't think of you or anybody in this room as the kind of person who thinks that anybody's less.
I mean, imagine if you tried that in, like, just pre-Civil War, where, you know, a slave would have a child and from the master and be like, well, clearly I just had a white child.
Are you going to let him
in the house now?
You had a drowned baby.
I mean, it'd be like, you can't do that. Yeah. You literally
basically
can't.
Devin, have you ever had chips and salsa and queso? Here's the deal. You can dip the queso into the salsa and it don't change the salsa. But the minute you dip the salsa into the queso, it's red.
And I'm hungry. I don't know what you just said, but I'm starving.
That's how we discovered it.
Go ahead. Oh, and I did a joke about being Asian, and this other comedian came up to me after the show, and he was like, are you really Asian? And I said, yes. And he said, oh, you hide it very well.
Wow. Devin, I can't believe you said that.
And that man was Devin Siebel.
Yeah, I know, right?
And he said it in a weird voice.
He was on Amazon Prime.
Like, you
40
hide
minutes
it.
Of hate.
He was holding his eyes. You hide it very well. I'm Devin.
And he called me a whore.
That was
so when you write not that joke specifically, but certain type of jokes. Are you think it's hilarious, but you're like, this might be too touchy. Do you get rid of the joke, or will you still do it?
I push through it. I try to make it work. But there's some jokes.
But in your head, are you like, oh my God, this crowd is going to turn on me?
Now, here's the interesting thing. I will be okay with it as long as I feel comfortable doing it. I think that's 90% of the actual delivery and reception, is that they think I'm comfortable saying it on stage and I'm cool with it.
And they'll be comfortable if you're comfortable.
Yeah, a lot of times I see comics that do untouchy subjects and they look uncomfortable. They get tight saying it. They're demeaning. Okay, prior to that joke is one, and then they say it, and it's like, oh, you're different on this one. You're not sure about this, you know?
Right.
I think there's a certainty that has to come with the delivery of the joke.
I feel like that's any joke, because if it's like an early show on a Saturday, and I feel like the crowd, if I say like the F word, I'm like, oh, this is too dirty.
Right.
And so I say it.
Like quiet.
Yeah, and it's
are
like,
are you guys okay with that?
Yeah,
and you can't for comedy. You can't be like,
now you gotta
that.
Be confident.
You gotta like just be like, this is my.
Can you? You got time to promote your show real quick before we go?
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'll be headlining the Tampa Improv in Ybor City Sunday, March 31st, 7 p.m. with Sarah Bulow-Geimer. If you want two free tickets, hit me up on Instagram at Eric Myers Comedy, E-R-I-K-M-Y-E-R-S.
Awesome. Don't forget, we have our April 2nd showcase at the Hourglass Brewery. That's going to be coming up this next month, as well as April 27th. That's a Saturday. Winter Haven is going to be hosting all the Monster Comedians of the Year. Myself, Ross, Miguel, James, and host Ryan Holmes at the Ritz Theater. Check that out on facebook.com/reallaughsradio. And Miguel, what you got coming up, buddy?
You can check me out this Friday at Orange Beach over there at I don't know where it is. It's near Daytona. It's the Doghouse over there, Port Orange. And then Saturday, I will be at the Ocala Breeder Sale headlining as well. Please come check me out at those shows.
Awesome, guys. Sarah, you got something else you want to promote?
I'll be at the Tampa Improv with Eric on Sunday, the 31st.
Nice. You made it. You're with Eric Myers.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in this week. We'll be back next week with more Real Laughs on Real Radio. Good night.